The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Cisco. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Cisco.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Cisco, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. And I like to start my shows with a personal story and experience. And the story I want to share with you today is when I left the corporate world and started my own business of coaching and healing. I needed a workable home office so that I could see clients there, or at least have that as an option. I did have a home office, but it had become a storage unit and a place where things could be filed eventually. So it was a daunting task, and I had piles of stuff, literally stuff, mostly papers, everywhere. And I decided to work with an organizer, and she gave me some really helpful tips about how to start sifting through all this stuff that I had. So she recommended I work in 20-minute intervals and to sort things in a certain way. So she had have a keep pile, a trash pile, a recycle pile, donate pile, and an I don't know pile, which actually became my favorite pile, all of which was very helpful. I could get overwhelmed with this task of sorting and would stop frequently. So sometimes I would do a round in the morning, sometimes I would do a round in the afternoon. What I found hard was the memories and experiences attached to the stuff. Some positive and some negative. Another suggestion she made that when I was sorting through documents that I needed to make a decision within 5 seconds of which pile to put this in. So that was really good for me because the longer I would think about things, the more confused I would get. So in those instances, that I don't know pile was really useful. And then I wouldn't get stuck and not so overwhelmed, and it would save time. And it was such a relief when I had the sorting and clearing out process done. And I actually felt lighter when I was finished. And my organizer also had great ideas for those things that I really didn't know what to do with, excuse me, and had in a box, like keepsakes and photos. She told me that I just needed a place to put them so I could get some nice containers and some photo boxes so that everything had a place. And she shared that that's where most people get stuck. And I thought to myself, well, that's for sure, because that's where I was getting stuck. So it was that whole idea of giving myself permission to keep the things that I really wanted to keep and to store them in such a way I could access them easily. It was a wonderful process, and the tools and systems I learned then, I still use today. So when it came time to actually decorate my office, I wanted to use the principles of feng shui. And there are guidelines for an office. So, for example, one of the tips for feng shui is to put plants in a corner, and there's a specific corner where you put them that grows straight up, which is supposed to bring wealth and abundance. And also, the four directions in a room have significance, and there's colors associated with those directions. So I had a north-facing wall, and the color associated with that from the book I was using was blue. And so I painted that wall this beautiful, deep, rich turquoise blue that reminded me of the ocean, and I painted a second wall that blue. And I painted the other two walls a sand color so I could be reminded of being at the beach and at the ocean, which is one of my favorite places. And the room looked fantastic. And then I had dark brown bamboo shades and dark brown furniture. I won't go into too many details, but the room turned out really lovely, and I just loved it. And besides looking great, it actually felt really good, too. The room had really good flow, and everyone came in just said, oh, this is such a nice space. You know, it's very beautiful, and it feels really good. So I was so happy that I had achieved my vision for my new space. So if you're ever in a situation like that where you're starting out with a room and you're feeling as overwhelmed as I was, I recommend you get help. If you haven't tried feng shui tips yet, I suggest you give them a try, and we're certainly going to be learning more about that today. I have my experience with feng shui. It has always made a positive difference in the spaces that I have used it in. And now it's time to breathe. We're going to take three deep breaths in and out, and feel free to join me if you like. So I'm going to take a deep breath in and slowly breathe out through my mouth. And I'm taking another deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And taking one more deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And my show today is Feng Shui Made Easy, and my guest is Kathleen McCandless. And let me tell you about Kathleen. Kathleen is a highly respected, nationally known expert, author, teacher, and speaker on the subject of feng shui. She has the number one rated book on Amazon right now on feng shui. And her book is called Feng Shui That Makes Sense. With over 20 years experience, Kathleen's unique, no-nonsense, practical approach to feng shui has been featured in many esteemed publications, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, the San Diego Union Tribune, the Denver Post, the Houston Chronicle, and the Los Angeles Times. Named the best feng shui expert in San Diego by San Diego Magazine, Kathleen's radio and television appearances include everything from primetime newscasts to a featuring starring role in the nationwide television series Feng Shui Living. You can learn more about her services by going to sandiegofengshui.com, and that's sandiegofengshui.com, sandiegofengshui.com. Kathleen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Regina. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
You're so welcome. So, I know this is a big topic, but can you give us an easy description of what is feng shui?
Oh, yeah. It's an easy thing to explain, actually, if you really understand what it is. And what feng shui really is, it's the study of the environment and how it affects people. So it's a 5,000-year-old system that's basically an environmental psychology system where we look at the environment, the external and the internal environment, indoors and outdoors, and we analyze basically how human beings relate best to their spaces. And so essentially what feng shui does is it gives us guidelines on how we relate to our space. For example, we lived in nature far longer than we've lived indoors. So much of feng shui is based on our survival instincts. And when we take our survival instincts that kept us alive when we lived out in nature and apply those same guidelines to our indoor environments, we create spaces that just feel better. So we're addressing the survival instinct, we're looking at a lot of other factors, and we come up with a space that feels incredible. And when that space is optimized, our lives flow better, we're happier, we experience less stress. It's just an all-around great way to design your space and live your life.
I can certainly attest to that. So tell us about your background and what led you to studying and practicing feng shui.
Well, I originally, many, many years ago, I won't tell you how many, I was a school teacher. I also taught at the university level, and I was a scientific research consultant, and I did research for the Smithsonian, for USC and UC Berkeley. So I have a very strong science research background, which really seems like a dichotomy when you're talking about feng shui. But what happened was, unfortunately, my mother became very ill with cancer, and I was in a bookstore one day just feeling sad and looking through some of the books, and a book fell off the shelf, and it was a book about creating a healing space and things you could do to make a patient feel better. And there was no accident that that book fell off the shelf. So I picked it up. I started thumbing through it. I really liked what I saw. I bought the book, took it home, and essentially started putting into place some of the things that the book mentioned in my mother's space. And I knew it wouldn't cure her. I wasn't that naive. But my mom kept telling me how much better she felt and how much more relaxed she felt and less anxiety she felt as we made the changes in her home. And that led me, because I am a research-oriented person, to research and find out as much as I could about this topic. And as I did my research, I stumbled across this thing called feng shui. And because it was 20 years ago, there wasn't much information about feng shui then. It wasn't very popular, if you will. But I started researching. I went to Europe and took classes. I came back, and after my mom passed away, I made the decision that this is what I wanted to do with my career and my life, much like you did when you made your transition. And I just never looked back. This is genuinely what I meant to do, and I really love it. So that's really how I started. It's a long story, but that there it is.
That's a beautiful story. So we're going to be heading to break in just a few minutes here, but the next question I wanted to ask you, so what makes your book Feng Shui That Makes Sense different from all the other feng shui books out there?
Well, my book really is different than any other book. Essentially, what I've done is expose the myths and misconceptions that are too often associated with feng shui, expose those myths, given rational explanations for the things that we talk about in feng shui, and given my readers really specific, easy ways that they can change their environment and make it optimal. Basically, it's the emperor's new clothes for feng shui. So I debunk a lot of the myths and give my readers very practical information that really makes sense. And because of that, they want to apply these principles to their environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, I was reading the book over, and I really like how you have, pages in the book that kind of debunk the myth. And, mm-hmm. you know, the practical tips and tools that you've included in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, feng shui is an incredibly beautiful system. It's so much more majestic and so much more meaningful than the superstitions and irrational trinkets and gadgets and gizmos and crystals and all this nonsense that you hear about it. Those were never meant to be part of feng shui. That's kind of like the game of telephone, that over the centuries the information has been changed and altered to the point where it's not really anything relating to what its original intention was. So I've brought feng shui back to its original intention, stepped away from the superstition and the and the silly ideas, and given readers, again, back the dignity and the original message of why they should do certain things in their environment. And the response has been overwhelming. The book's done so phenomenally well, even exceeding my wildest expectations. And I think it's because people have responded to the truth in the book. You know, it's,
yeah.
they really like knowing the facts and what's true about feng shui. And hopefully that's an idea that's going to spread.
That's fantastic, because I really do like the layout of the book and how easy it is to apply, because I've really read some feng shui books that are rather confusing.
Yeah.
So it's time for us to take a break, Kathleen.
Okay.
And I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of feng shui, who is telling us about her excellent book on feng shui that makes sense. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sandiegofengshui.com, and we'll be right back after the break.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Regina Cisco is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkgaard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Cisco. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Cisco, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert author and designer who uses feng shui for her clients' home or office environments. So, Kathleen, what prompted you then to write your book, Feng Shui That Makes Sense?
Well, you know, I've been doing this 20 years now, and my clients kept telling me, and my students, I teach feng shui as well, kept saying, you know, your method makes so much sense. This is what I've been looking for. This is what I thought feng shui was going to be. Why don't you write a book? And for the first few years, I thought, oh, no. And then to be honest with you, for a while, I hesitated to write it because honestly, Regina, I knew it was going to be controversial. I knew that by exposing some of the myths, like you need to hang a crystal or you need this little thing here or trinket there, I knew that it would ruffle some feathers. And I was really kind of, I guess, afraid to come out of the closet and say, you know what, some of this stuff's just nonsense. But over time, and doing this work for so long with literally thousands of consultations I've done, I realized that this is what people were searching for. They didn't want the nonsense. They didn't want the superstitious aspects of it. They wanted to create a beautiful space. So what prompted me to really buckle down and really get it out there was feeling like every time I met somebody and I'd say, well, I'm a feng shui consultant, and they make a rude comment or snicker or make a joke, I really got tired of that, and I felt strongly that it was time to speak up and really set people straight about what feng shui truly is. And I researched this for years and years. I've read all the ancient, text I could get my hands on, hundreds of environmental psychology books, design books, and then integrated my own experience. And so essentially, what came out was a book that I am very proud of. It turned out exactly how I wanted it to turn out. And a book that provides people with solid information and also it refers to some of the myths they may have heard. I explain where the myth came from and what the science or what the original intention behind that myth was, so that people start truly understanding what it is they're doing in their environment.
Could you give us an example of one of the myths you're referring to?
Yes. It's hard to pick just one. But one of the biggest ones is, I think this is the one that kind of ruffles my feathers the most, to be truthful with you, and that is that you can hang a crystal somewhere and that's going to suddenly miraculously change your luck. First of all, feng shui has nothing to do with luck. It's not a belief system. It's not a superstition. It's not a religion. It's a system of environmental design. And those little crystals that you hear about in so many feng shui books and things like this were never meant to be part of original feng shui. They're an Austrian crystal that was designed a few hundred years ago, not 5,000 years ago. The traditional Chinese never used it. And the idea that you can hang this little piece of glass in your home and suddenly things are going to change is ridiculous. So to punctuate this, I'd like to say, let's say we did an experiment and there's two identical offices and each office has three people in it and the two offices are set up exactly the same. And let's say we don't tell the people working in these two offices what we're doing, and in one office we don't change anything, we just hang a crystal, in the room, and the other office is just how it always is. I venture to say that there's probably not going to be a significant difference in the workers' productivity or attitude, et cetera, in the office that has the crystal and the office that doesn't. Now, let's apply real feng shui principles to one of the offices. Let's make sure that people are sitting facing the room and the door so that their back is protected and they feel in command, they can pay attention to their work. We paint the room a color, like a tan, which is a soothing color, relaxing color. It is not hard on the eyes. We change the lighting so they have full spectrum lighting. We make these changes that I talk about in my book and add some nature, some plants. And then you go and analyze the difference in these two offices and these workers. And you're going to find a significant improvement. In fact, the studies show that productivity and job satisfaction goes up 28% when these things are implemented in their space. So instead of just hanging a crystal, which is kind of like hanging a rabbit's foot in a room, we have actually done the work to transform this space into a place that's nurturing, that's beautiful, that's supportive. People will relax, and they're able to apply themselves to their work better. So I hope that gives a good example. Another really quick one that you'll hear about, for example, is that you should never have your stairs facing the door, your front door, because all the money or the luck, which I cringe when I hear luck because it implies something that's arbitrary, and there's nothing arbitrary about feng shui, but that all your money is going to run down the stairs and out the door like a waterfall. It's simply mm-hmm. not true. But the reason that tenet was originally in feng shui was for a much more profound reason. And that is that when we're, again, feng shui is built on your survival instincts. So when you're asleep, whether you're awake or asleep, your survival instinct is active. It's working on keeping you alive. It's working on keeping you safe. And when the front door is directly aligned with the stairs, and the stairs go up to the bedroom area, the place where you're most vulnerable, especially if you're sleeping. What it does is it can create a feeling of discomfort or agitation in the people who live there. In other words, it's hard to rest in a space where you know that if somebody should intrude, they have easy access to the upstairs, the more vulnerable part of the house where people are asleep. They have easy access to that area, and for some people, that can make them feel very vulnerable. So it makes sense when you think about the true meaning behind why we tell people, you know, it's really best not to have your stairs face your front door. The truth is it may make you feel more vulnerable and less rested. It's not true that your money will go down the stairs. So those are two quick examples, or maybe not so quick.
Well, those are really good examples, too. Because when I was reading in your book, it's kind of that similar example that you had given about having a straight hallway from your door to the back mm-hmm. of the house, mm-hmm. Creating that same or similar sense of vulnerability mm-hmm. to the, like, bedrooms and things. Is that the mm-hmm. – that's correct, right?
Right. And if you go – I mean, throughout my book, I keep pointing this out. If you really – analyze the way we relate in a space. Like, for example, when you go to a restaurant, Regina, and the hostess says, do you want a booth or a table? What do you usually say?
A booth.
A booth. Why?
It's more comfortable.
Okay. And if I keep pressing you, you'll probably come up with words like cozy, relaxing. But the truth of the matter is we prefer a booth because a booth allows all the people in the party to have their back protected. And when your back is protected, you relax. And because your survival instinct is being met. And that means you can relax, you're not worrying about what's going on behind you, and you can relax and enjoy the conversation at hand. When you're at a table in the middle of a room in a restaurant, there's a lot of activity going on behind you, and it's very hard to give your 100% concentration and attention to your co-diners because all of you are kind of wondering what's going on behind you, so you're kind of distracted, maybe not consciously realizing it, but subconsciously there's a message there. And people that sit at those tables do not sit there as long and enjoy their meal as long as the people sitting in the booth. And that's the true reason, that's a feng shui reason why we prefer a booth rather than a table in the middle of a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that totally. That mm-hmm. makes perfect sense to me.
Yep. And real quick, another one it keeps popping in my head, so I think I have to say it, is another one you'll hear is that never sleep or sit under a beam because the beam in the room is going to press down all this evil energy towards you. It's simply ridiculous. It's not true. Sometimes beams add character and beauty to a space, but when we think about the cultural context and the time when feng shui edicts were developed, we look at a time when people built their homes by hand. You know, your family would gather, your relatives, and they would literally build their home by hand. And we're talking about a region on Earth that is very, very prone to seismic activity. We always hear about these devastating earthquakes in China. Now, if you live in a seismically active area and you're building your home by hand and maybe you don't have the real skills to engineer a space like we have now where, you know, we have all these earthquake standards. But if you're talking about 5,000 years ago, you know, a wooden and mud structure, yeah, you don't want to sleep or sit for a long period of time under a bearing beam because mm-hmm. should there be an earthquake, you're going to have a real problem. You may die if that beam falls on you. So it made sense that they put in the tenets of feng shui at that time, don't sit or sleep under a load-bearing beam. Nowadays, you know, for the most part, that isn't applicable. But these are the things that are carried on without really stopping to think about the meaning behind what it is we're telling people to do in their spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another really great example. Mm-hmm. How it kind of hasn't been updated until now with your book, with current times.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. It's time for us to take a break. And I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of feng shui, who is giving us these great tips that are in her book, Feng Shui That Makes Sense. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sandiegofengshui.com, and we'll be right back after the break.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within, and you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door, with host Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy, is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert author and designer who uses feng shui for her clients' homes and office spaces. Her number one rated book, Feng Shui That Makes Sense, is available on Amazon.com. And Kathleen is gracious enough to give away a free book today. And if you would like her book, call in now at 866-472-5795. The first person to call in will receive her book. So, Kathleen, what do you say to someone when they say, I don't believe in feng shui?
You mean after I internally laugh? You know, a lot of people say that, Regina, and I don't blame them. You know, I've heard a lot of silly, ridiculous things associated with what I do for a living. excuse me, when a layperson has only heard those things, I don't blame them for saying I don't believe in feng shui. I don't believe in a lot of those things that are associated with feng shui either. But feng shui is not a belief system. It is an environmental design system. And by the way, it's not a decor style. It's not an Asian decor style. In other words, your home does not need, or office does not need to look zen or have an Asian theme to have good feng shui. It could be traditional, contemporary. It doesn't matter. What it really is a system where we are looking at, how people feel in the space. So what I say to people when they say I don't believe in feng shui, I asked them a question, and the question is this: have you ever been in a space, either a business or a home, where you felt comfortable? And of course the answer is yes. And then they say, I'll ask them, have you ever been in a space that feels uncomfortable and you're not even sure why? Well, yes, that's feng shui. So when we look at how we feel in a space, that feeling is the feng shui of the space. So all your listeners right now are sitting somewhere, maybe standing or listening on their iPod, I don't know. But wherever they are, whether they're comfortable or uncomfortable, is addressing the feng shui of their environment. So if you look at it that way, it makes perfect sense. And one of the things that I like to tell people is to take that internal inventory and say, yeah, am I comfortable or not? There's a big difference between sitting on a seat in an airport terminal than there is being at home in your easy chair. And the luxury market, for example, first class versus coach in the airline industry, or luxury cars versus economy cars, or in the hotel industry, there's a reason why luxury class exists, and these companies know that people are willing to pay more for more comfort, and what they're really paying for is better feng shui. And I always laugh, and I talk about Dilbert sometimes when I'm talking about office spaces, and I say Dilbert's funny because Dilbert has really bad feng shui. So, real quick, too, one of the things I talk about in my book is called the Goldilocks Principle. And I think that Goldilocks was one of the very first, very famous feng shui consultants in the world. And the reason Goldilocks made such a good feng shui consultant is because she knew that anything that was too hot, too hard, too soft, too cold, anything with that word T-O-O before it describes a place that does not have good feng shui. And so that's what we're always looking for in feng shui. It's the harmony, the balance, and the ability to feel comfortable in our spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about the Compass School feng shui?
Yes. There are many different schools of feng shui, and this is one of the reasons you're never going to find a real consensus between feng shui consultants or experts. If you ask 10 different experts their opinion on how feng shui is the best method, you're going to find 10 different answers. Often they're contradictory. But in a nutshell, there's several different systems. The oldest system of feng shui is called form feng shui, and a good portion of my book addresses form feng shui, which is really basically how the space feels physically. When we're there, what do we need to change in that room to make it so that people will relax and enjoy themselves? The next oldest system is called Compass Feng Shui, which you just referred to. And Compass School Feng Shui uses, guess what? A compass. And the amazing thing about Compass School Feng Shui is we look at the context and the time when Feng Shui was developed, which was 5,000 years ago in China. And about the same point in time, acupuncture was developed in China. And what the incredibly wise ancient Chinese knew was that the human body had energy meridians going through it. And by stimulating certain points on these meridians, it seemed to unblock or allow better flow, which we call qi, better life force, to affect certain organs in the body. Now, about this same point in time, this beautiful culture also discovered that there were energy meridians that went through the earth, much like the meridians in our human body. And instead of stimulating these energy meridians with needles, they stimulated these energy meridians using different elements, water, wood, fire, earth, and metal, which is a very big topic we don't have time to go into in the show. But essentially, feng shui became similar to acupuncture for a building. In fact, the compass that we use today was originally developed to be used with feng shui. In other words, the compass was invented to be used with feng shui. And the compass was used to determine these magnetic lines that I just mentioned and to determine the most auspicious ways to position buildings, so that they would have optimal energy from the earth. And studies, archaeological digs, have shown that the ancient cities of China, the main cities like Beijing, for example, were laid out on feng shui principles. So it's a very old system and has a lot of science behind it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah. That's very interesting. And, Kathleen, it looks like we have a caller.
Okay.
Susan from Niagara Falls, another one of my favorite places, won the book, and she has a question.
Hi, Susan. Hi, how are you? I'm fantastic. What can I help you with?
Me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have kind of a three-part question. First, you mentioned about the stairway. I have a home that has a stairway in the front, but it's offset to the left side, and when you come in the front door, you see directly down. It's got a beautiful, it's a very old home. It's 1900s built.
Beautiful.
And you see an archway, and then offset into the kitchen, another archway. It's beautifully constructed. That's part of it. And then my girlfriend told me that I need to have a mirror right in front of, like, on the archway that faces towards the door to reflect any negative energy going out. There's no place to put a mirror, by the way, unless
and
you put a
really,
really tiny mirror.
Yeah.
And the third part of the question is, I'm an artist, so I'm turning my attic into an art studio where I can paint, and I'm wondering what sort of suggestion you have as far as color and so forth.
Good questions. The first question about your stairs, number one, it sounds to me like you love your home and that you're happy
there. I love
my
home.
That's the most important thing. If it feels good, it's good feng shui. Second of all, people can actually have their stairs directly facing the door, which is not your case. Yours is offset. But even people that have well, in traditional feng shui, we'll tell you is bad location for the stairs directly facing the door. If they're happy, they're comfortable, they're sleeping well, it's not a problem. So if it's not broken, we don't fix it. So your staircase, I wouldn't give it a second thought, to be really honest with you. The archways, I love. In fact, I've worked on a lot of master plan communities. I've worked on a lot of custom-built homes. And having those archways as you stand in the front door looking towards the interior of the home is a beautiful, beautiful enhancement. It slows your eye down. It gives you something for the eye to rest on before it proceeds. It's one of the most beautiful ways to enhance a big hallway in a home. So that's brilliant. As far as the mirror goes, it's a bunch of nonsense. All a mirror does is reflect light. It's not reflecting any energy of one kind or another, positive or negative. In fact, if it reflects away the negative energy, that doesn't make any sense because it would be reflecting away positive energy, too. I mean, how does it discriminate between the two? So that is a myth. It's not true. We don't have enough time to go into how that myth began, but just to give you a big sigh of relief, please don't do that. It'll look silly, and it'll disfigure your gorgeous archways as you walk into your house. That's ridiculous. For your studio, your artist studio up in the attic, I love the idea, and people always ask me, Kathleen, what color should I paint my space? And I have one answer and only one answer, and that is any color you like. It is a myth that we need certain feng shui colors to enhance a space. Where that myth came from is that there are colors associated with each of the five elements that we use in feng shui. But those colors were never meant to be colors that we painted a room. That's a misunderstanding that's been perpetuated. So that said, there are colors that do stimulate creativity. This is different than feng shui. Feng shui is saying if you paint the color, this good luck thing will happen to you. What we know about color psychology is that various colors do stimulate different parts of the human brain. So if we're looking at it from a physiological standpoint, there are colors that stimulate creativity. And those colors are a combination of sort of an indigo blue. The purples also will stimulate that part of the creative part of the brain. And also indigo blue and yellow. Yellow is a color and I'm talking about more of a soft yellow, not a bright lemon yellow, is a color that stimulates the part of the brain that has to do with thinking and writing ability. So oftentimes I'll tell artists, you know, to have maybe a bouquet of purple irises with some daffodils come springtime, and that color combination is quite stimulating for the creative receptors in our brain. So they're two different things. So paint it any color you like. If you want to dash a little bit of indigo and yellow in there, that's good too. But honestly, it should be something that you love and that makes you feel comfortable. How's that?
Okay, all part of the house have ancient wallpaper. In fact, the attic has boards. Mm-hmm. What do you call those? The boards that have design on them.
Oh, uh-huh.
They're original.
Uh-huh.
And
how do you like them?
I don't really want to. What?
How do you like that?
I love it. I mean, they're...
Good, keep it.
They're the...
Don't change the
cool.
Okay, it's time for us to move to break. Thank you so much, Susan, for your call.
Yeah, thank you.
And I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of Feng Shui, who's giving us some wonderful tips about Feng Shui from her book, Feng Shui Makes Sense. You can learn more about her services by going to sandiegofengshui.com. We'll be right back after the break.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Being Here with Ariel and Shia Kane is an ordinary person's guide to modern-day enlightenment. This show is an exciting exploration which opens the door to living in the moment. Don't miss Being Here. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern with Ariel and Shia Kane right here on the Seventh Wave Network.
What are the benefits to combining modern science with ancient healing practices? For the answers, you'll want to tune into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. Each week, our program focuses on an Ayurvedic lifestyle. By developing new ways of looking at our world, we can find ways to foster harmony and peace for the good of mankind and our planet. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Tune into Frame of Mind, Saturdays at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert author and designer for feng shui for clients in their home or offices. And Kathleen, can you tell us about the significance of directions in the home, or is there any significance in directions in a home?
That's a really good question, Regina, and it requires a long answer, but I'll try to be succinct here. One of the, again, a misconception that people have is that we have these corners in our houses. Like, you'll hear people refer, well, that's your wealth corner or your love corner. In true feng shui, there are no corners associated with a particular life aspiration aspect. However, there is a template that traditional feng shui uses, compass school feng shui uses, and it's called the Pakua. And essentially what it is if we do a footprint of your house, a floor plan. The footprint is actually the outline, the perimeter of the home. And we start in the center, and you have a compass. Again, this is compass feng shui. You will see on your compass that these meridian lines travel through the home. So, for example, south, north, east are going to have, they're going to radiate out from the center like spokes on a wheel. And in traditional feng shui, those spokes or those meridian lines, those compass directions, are associated with different parts of our life. Now, this is the part of feng shui, I want to give a big exclamation point here, that cannot be readily explained scientifically. I do believe at some point, with all the leaps we're making in quantum physics, there will be an explanation at some point. But the best analogy I can give you, as I mentioned earlier, it's like acupuncture for the home. So where these meridian lines or these compass points intersect the outer wall of the house, it seems to, and this is again more of an empirical thing, and an empirical evidence of stuff is when we have experienced something to be true and we really cannot find the true scientific meaning behind it. But empirically, what I've found in doing this for 20 years is that when we put the correct combination of elements on these compass points, not the corner, not the entire room, but near these points where they intersect our homes, it seems to, and I've had this happen time and time again in my own life and the lives of my clients, stimulate different aspects of our life. It seems to, just like we put a needle maybe in your wrist and it'll stimulate your liver way over on the other side of your body, this methodology seems to do the same thing for a building. So if there's any stuck energy in a space, this combination of putting these elements on this meridian line in the home seems to do the same thing. It seems to unblock the energy. Now, it's a little complicated to explain on a show, but if when people buy my book in Chapter 6, I really step-by-step outline how to do this to your home and what to do in each area. And again, I invite people to be skeptical. Like, for example, putting a plant on the southeast meridian of your home. I mean, that is supposed to stimulate prosperity in your life. Now, let's say somebody says, well, how can that work? And so, I invite them to do so. Find that meridian, be very accurate. Again, this is in my book. Try it. See what happens. The worst that happens is you have a plant somewhere.
Yeah, Kathleen, that's a good explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think referring people to the book for that one is good.
Yeah.
And one last question
yes.
I'll have you answer real quickly.
Okay.
Is what are a few good tips for feng shui in the bedroom?
The biggest tip of all, Regina, is make sure when you're laying down that you can see the door mm-hmm. and you're not in line with the door. And what this does is, again, we're talking about our survival instinct. And what it does is if you can see the door when you're laying down, you're going to be able to sense if someone's intruding into your space while you're vulnerable and sleeping. If you're right in line with the door, your subliminal mind knows that you're too close to the door, and an intruder can, if you will, get you a little more quickly. If you're angled so that you can see the door but not be in line with the door, your subliminal mind knows it has a couple extra seconds to protect you in case there's an intruder. So that is one of the main things, and there's lots of other tips in my book for your listeners to find out how to optimize their bedroom for better sleep and more relaxation.
Wonderful. Well, Kathleen, you've given us so much great information today. Thank you so much for being on the show.
It's always my pleasure, Regina. Thank you. I hope people enjoyed it. I hope they buy my book.
I'm sure they did. And, yes, definitely go buy her book. Kathleen has got the number one rated feng shui book on Amazon.com where you can buy her book. And, of course, to learn more about Kathleen's services, go to www.sandiegofengshui.com. On my show next week is Dr. Alice Chan. And the title of my show is The Secret Vibe That Keeps You Single or Attracting the Wrong Romantic Prospects. Dr. Chan wants to help America's searching singles discover lasting romantic happiness with advice for her acclaimed REACH program. Dr. Chan will reveal on air how little mistakes could be keeping you from finding your real Valentine. She'll explore romantic fixes to what you think makes you attractive could actually repel prospective sweethearts away. So tune in for Dr. Chan's helpful tips for making conscious choices in loves next Friday, February 10th at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And remember to sign up for my free newsletter and free report of how to be your best self on my website at lifestreamholisticcoaching.com. Thank you for listening in. This is Regina Sisko with Shining Bright. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week.
Thank you again for being part of Shining Bright. Please join your host, Regina Sisko, again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. This week, take one more step to leading the life that you deserve.